Good morning. You're listening to Coast Community Radio, and this is The Conversation. I'm your host, Graham Nystrom, and today is open forum on The Conversation. What do you want to talk about? I'm all ears. The number is 503-325-0010, and Pete is answering phones for us today, so please be nice to Pete when you call in. Some topics that the pump has been primed with include single-use plastics, the practice of tipping, waterfront development, and Astoria bypass for Highway 30 and 101. How about volunteerism? We touched on that already, but how about young people as volunteers? Do enough young people volunteer? Do young people have enough time to volunteer? Do they work 3 jobs to afford healthcare and rent? What about the kindergarten cop mural at Astor School? Cake versus pie. What do you think? 503-325-0010. We can have fun with this. We can be serious. It's all up to you. I am just the pathway for your voice to be heard. You're the community, and this is Coast Community Radio. So why don't you give us a call and get this conversation rolling? 503-325-0010. Homelessness has been a topic on our minds lately. There's a homeless task force. But what are solutions? What's the problem? What's happening with the homeless population? I think single-use plastics is a really good topic. That was suggested by our own Ann Orney, host of Cold Coast. That's a new show that airs every first Thursday on Coast Community Radio. I believe that's at 9:30, but check our program guide at coastradio.org. 503-325-0010. This is a call-in show. All the lines are clear, and the conversation is yours. This show is yours. What are your feelings on waterfront development? Did you hear that Fort George Brewery has bought Astoria Warehousing, which occupies many acres of waterfront in Uniontown in Astoria? What do you think about that? Sounds like a good thing to me, but that's just my opinion. What's your opinion? There's a lot of talk about development on the Astoria waterfront. The goals include preserving views, preserving access to the river. And I think that a topic that sort of runs into development is gentrification. As things change ownership, as developers buy property and tear old buildings down to build new buildings, rents go up. Is gentrification inevitable? Is it a positive force? Is it a negative force? Is it a little more complicated than that? I see that we've got a caller. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Hi, I'm calling from over on the north side of the Columbia River, but I happen to know about your warming shelter that you have in Astoria. It's been going on for a while. And Annie Martin, who runs that program, is helping us to put together a program over here on the north side. It might be a valuable topic to have Annie or somebody from your warming shelter on someday, because that's just a program that is critically important. And it's not just for homeless people. People don't realize that there are people, vulnerable people in our own communities, who may not be able to have paid their heating bill, may have the furnace goes out, and on a terrible night when it's really cold outside, they may need to be brought into a place where they can make it through the night.
It's all about people taking care of people, right?
Yeah, it is. And you've got a wonderful program over there. I'm not sure that people are as aware of it as they should be, but it needs to get out locally, because we need to know locally that if somebody vulnerable, maybe a neighbor, a friend, whoever, needs help, we need to know that there's a place they can go. They will be cared for.
Well, I'm glad you called in with that suggestion. I will add it to my notes and see if I can get in touch with some folks. We definitely promote the warming center as best we can here at the radio station, but we do rely on the community to be self-starters when it comes to that kind of thing. So give us a call.
And you've got a program that's so good, it's expanding to other places.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I'm very proud of the warming center, and I'm glad that you are making strides in Washington as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
You bet. Bye.
Bye. Well, thank you for that call. We've got possibly another caller on hold, I see. But while we wait for them to get transferred in, do you have experiences with homelessness folks or the warming shelter? Give us a call with your thoughts, 503-325-0010. Hi, you're on The Conversation. What's your comment or question?
This is Diana Kirk. I own quite a few buildings in Uniontown, and I heard you were discussing the waterfront, so I thought I'd give a call in. I'm actually running down right now to meet one of the city councilors about the access issues that will happen with the waterfront development through the port. The new Bridge Vista Overlay Program has a clause that the port can come up with a big plan for all of the port area and somehow get some variances in certain areas that have to do with development in order to get all of the port area developed. And in the process, looks like they're probably going to block Bay Street from actually anybody getting to the Riverwalk, which happens to be where Uniontown Core is, the oldest buildings. So I just wanted to make a comment and bring it to people's attention because it's going to be voted on Monday night at the city council meeting. I wanted to bring it to people's attention because it would actually be the only street in all of Astoria that is blocked from the Riverwalk access, which is our main concern as businesses like Three Cups Coffee House, Columbia River, Coffee Roasters, Works Purple, Triangle, Simi Hall. These are really old buildings. Simi Hall is 1893, and we wouldn't have access anymore to the Riverwalk or the water because of the way the Bridge Vista Overlay was written, which wasn't a mistake. Everybody did their job. Nobody put together that the port's parcel could actually close off access until last week. And so I just wanted to, in case anybody from the port is listening or anything, I'm not against development at all. I'm just against the historical buildings losing their access in our area.
Well, I think preserving access is a major goal for people who are fighting this fight.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, any last thoughts? All right. The number here, 503-325-0010. We're talking about downtown waterfront. But what about your neck of the woods? What are you experiencing in Tillamook? I want to give a special shout out to Tillamook listeners this morning. I understand that you have been dealing with some poor signal reception from our station for the last couple weeks. And I do apologize for that, but I did make it down there day before yesterday. And I believe that I got those signal issues resolved. But we value our Tillamook listeners very much. And do you have anything happening in Tillamook that you'd like to share with the community at large? Please do give us a call, 503-325-0010. Going to go back to Ann Orney's comment about single-use plastics. She makes the point that it's not easy to go a week without using or buying plastic. It's crazy how we rely on it out of habit. When I go to restaurants to order takeout food, I'm always disappointed in myself for not remembering to bring something reusable that I can have the food put in. But then it makes me wonder, too, about cleanliness standards and things like that. What if I didn't wash my plate? What if I was responsible for bringing a to-go container into a restaurant that had something on it that contaminated their food? You know, there's got to be issues around that. But what would a solution be to minimizing single-use plastics from to-go restaurants? And I'm proud of the plastic bag ban that happened in the state of Oregon here and has happened elsewhere. But what about all the things that you put in your paper bag or your reusable bag? They're all plastic, too. Sometimes it's plastic wrapped in plastic. I like my bacon wrapped with bacon, but I don't like my plastic wrapped with plastic. Give us a call. Do you have something on your mind? This is The Conversation. This is your call-in show to discuss local topics that affect the community. Haven't heard from anyone about the mural at Astor Elementary School. I believe this mural was painted for the Kindergarten Cop movie. It has been repainted over the years to preserve it. It's my understanding that the school board is looking at making improvements to the school that affect the safety of the school, but the mural may be at risk. And so what's it going to take to preserve that mural? I don't think anybody wants the mural to go away. Everybody loves art, but everybody loves safe schools as well. And so that can be part of the conversation today. 503-325-0010. A hot topic that has not seemed to go away is House Bill 2020. House Bill 2020 went away, but the conversation has certainly not slowed down as far as I'm concerned. And it was also the driving factor in creating the Timber Unity phenomenon. Are you a Timber Unity person? Give us a call. What did you not like about HB 2020? What can we do to both preserve the economy of this area, the logging community? We need to make sure that their jobs are safe. But what can we do to also proactively mitigate harm to the climate from places like mills? 503-325-0010. I mentioned the idea of gentrification, and my co-host John Stevenson sent me an article about Astoria in particular and gentrification. And so while we wait for the next call, I'm just going to share a little bit of that article with you. This is from Pacific Northwest magazine writer Ron Judd. In the oldest Euro settlement on the North Pacific coast, you don't get far past the appetizer stage at dinner before the question, heavy and potent as a guttural sea lion belch, floats out into the humidity-rich air. Can the old cannery, new hipster town of Astoria, Oregon, the spit-polished barnacle on the backside of progressively precious to the point of self-parody Portland, refashion itself into a place where a generation kindle wants to live but still maintained its used bookstore roots? The waitress isn't sure. Really, it's whether the town can keep that sense of cragginess, she says. Cragginess, as in with crag, a rugged face. No question, Astoria, a vivid, living memorial to the promise and pathos that would spring forth after that fateful spring day in 1811 when the former fur-trading fort became the first lasting foothold in the wild Oregon Territory, has it in spades. Nor that a satisfactory maintenance of the crag-non-crag balance, or as a former city manager famously put it, the battle between gritty and pretty, is as common a discussion topic on bar stools along Astoria's waterfront as a new strain of IPA from one of the old town's new breweries. Some degree of crag, the waitress finally concluded, is good for Astoria, perhaps even vital. This verdict came with no apparent recognition of the irony that the manicured thumbs up for gritty occurred at Bridgewater Bistro, a fine dining establishment occupying a pier space on a riverfront that once cranked out pallets of canned bumblebee tuna, but today dishes up what's called ahi, served to rare and served with the requisite gluten-free butternut squash risotto and sherry bouillir noisette at $27 a plate. All of which is a fancy way of opening the door to a discussion about the dreaded G-word, gentrification, potentially cool Western U.S. urban escape destination style. We've got a call, and I don't know if it's going to be about gentrification or if it's going to be about waterfront development. Hi there, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Hi, that Ron Judd article is from 2017, isn't it?
It is indeed.
So it's old, it's pretty old stuff. I mean, it's still pertinent, but I think that gentrification is not the ugly bugaboo that people think it is in Astoria. I think that Astoria has all sorts of authenticity that it's holding on to, and including the art scene, for example, what's going on with the Oddfellows Hall, for example, for what's going on with Fisher Poets. I mean, this is all authentic fabulousness.
Astoria,
you know,
Visual
so
Arts.
I wouldn't worry. Pardon?
Astoria Visual Arts is another good example.
Oh, thank you. But at any rate, I mean that we don't really have to worry so much about gentrification in Astoria as much as Ron Judd was putting into his article back then. And, you know, gritty versus pretty, that goes all the way back to, I don't know, several years ago. It was on everybody's lips. And so I fundamentally just don't worry about it that much. Of course, I don't live in Astoria. I live across the river, but that's neither here nor there. I work in Astoria.
Do you think that the pushing the tourism economy is a good thing or a bad thing or somewhere in the middle?
It's the only thing, really. I mean, fundamentally, what the heck else are we going to do, right?
That is the question.
What are the other industries that we can make money at besides the old tried and true? I mean, there's still fisher people. There's still logging. They're still there. There's still some canning going on, you know. I mean, Fort George is buying the warehouse down at on the river. I think that's phenomenal.
Indeed.
And it is related to tourism, but it's also related to new industry. So I'm not so worried about it. I don't know how everybody else feels, but you know what? Me worry never. Anyway, thanks a lot. Good show.
Thanks for the call.
See you. Bye.
And we've got another caller waiting to be patched through to the air room, so I'll spin my gears for just a moment while that happens. Is gentrification still an issue? Is it still a topic? 2017 doesn't seem too long ago to me. Here's our next caller. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
I think it would be wonderful if we could go through a whole day without mentioning the name of the President of the United States, whom I'm calling you-know-who. And he's the kind of person who wants to be noticed and adored, kind of person who might get caught in a lover's lane holding his own hand. I think it would be incredibly difficult, what with the internet and tweeting and radio and television, to accomplish that. But it would be wonderful if I could go through a whole day saying, I've had enough of you, you know who.
Very good. Anything else for us today?
I think it's important for people to be kind to each other, to respect the language. There's too much hatred and violence out there, and I think people need to value diversity and tolerance and to respect the differences among us.
Well, I couldn't have said that better myself.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. If you're just tuning in, this is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, and this is a call-in show, and all of the phone lines are open. So this is your chance to get on the air and share what's on your mind with the community. The number's 503-325-0010. I think that tourism, to go back to that second-to-last caller's comment, I struggle with tourism because I see what happens to cities where tourism is the primary economy. And I think that it does lose some of its charm. I think it loses some of its affordability for the people who do bring artistic or cultural components to the community. And so I am somewhat on guard personally about tourism, although I think that there is much about this town that should be appealing to folks. And maybe a piece of that is tourism, great. Buying a second home here and removing housing stock from the local community, maybe not so great. That is what turns places into ghost towns. That is what displaces a community. And housing stock is on short supply in our area. I don't know how much that's true for people on the Washington side of the Columbia River or in Tillamook County, Columbia County, but I do believe that the cost of living has been on the rise to a pretty significant extent, and I wonder how much more it can go up while wages and economies continue to wane, things like the fishing economy and the timber economy. What are some solutions to the timber economy waning? I definitely understand where folks from the Timber Unity Camp are coming from because they're concerned about their livelihood. And if a house bill was going to affect my livelihood, I would probably be inclined to oppose it as well. And to speak to the previous caller about political discourse, kindness. I worry how polarized we've become, and I wonder what it would take to get any sort of legislation passed when you don't have buy-in from both sides of the aisle, and especially if that buy-in is prevented by marketing campaigns. And I think that one of the main things that I heard about House Bill 2020 was that the sense was that the people that were going to pay for it were the working class, the people at the bottom, as opposed to the giant corporations who would just pass along costs of carbon taxes down the chain. Can we pass these costs along up the chain? Corporations are people too, right? Shouldn't they pay their fair share of taxes? 503-325-0010. The first episode that I did of this show was about divisiveness and political discourse, what I consider the us versus them mentality that has become pervasive. I'll go out on a limb and tell you that I do not consider myself a Republican or a Democrat, but I do consider myself an American that wants the best for this country and the people that live in it. I don't want to see neighbor pitted against neighbor, and I don't want to see government attacked for not filling the needs of its population. I think that the government is meant to serve the population, but more and more corporate interests seem to be the ones in control. We've got a caller. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question? You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, just barely, because I took my speakerphone off. But, you know, there are so many questions, and it's so hard to come up with any answer. We have groups of people who are intent on keeping wages down and profits up, and how do you pass a law when they've bought the legislative branch? I mean, you don't see any party doing anything for the American people. We get tax cuts for the rich. We continue to fund the military handout machine. And until we can actually get a conversation going about what is really important for the American people, nothing is going to change. You might as well just kick back and enjoy the show.
Yeah, that's tempting for sure. I personally hold the media, and especially the news media, responsible, because I think that some of these problems are very big, and they're maybe too big for any one person or one community to solve. But
absolutely.
I do think there's a lot of smart people out there, and I'd like to see people start.
There absolutely is, but the smart people can't get to any of the decision making machinery because the rich guys bought all of the guys who say, I want to help, vote me in, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't changed since I was a little kid.
Agreed. So an overhaul of the political system.
I don't know
system,
how we get those people to let go of the reins of power, but there you go. That's my two cents.
All right.
Have a good weekend, man.
Thanks for the call. 503-325-0010. Are our problems too big for us to manage? Is it time to just sit back and watch the show? I've been guilty of that at times in my life. But here I am on the radio, hoping to make a little bit of a difference. Hi, you're on the air with The Conversation. What's your comment or question?
Hi, I just had a quick comment. You know, growing up in Astoria, a small community, this last summer of 2019, with the whole HB 2020 Act, I just wanted to say I think it was so great to see a small community come together to show what they stand for, you know, to support the logging and fishing industry. Just what I want to say is I would like to see that happen without, you know, without the hate.
Yeah.
I'm not somebody who I would consider myself very politically educated, so I don't want to get too into it, but I just think, you know, the small community coming together is great. I would just like to see not so much hate, you know, towards, you know, businesses that are against the act. You know, everyone's going to have their own, you know, view. So I want to see less hate. And I want to know how we can do that, you know, with all the social media and everything.
I think that's one of the best comments that we've ever had on this show.
Oh, thank you.
I think you're right on track with where I'm trying to take this thing. And, you know, I really do think that everybody's seeing each other's side and that, you know, where's the wisdom, where's the compassion, and where is the intelligence that can lead us through a difficult time of transition? Because I do think that things are transitioning. But I think that the government should be here to take care of the people, and not to strip them of jobs or income or resources. And so, you know, I hope for the best, and I have a lot of faith in humanity. But I do think that we have a struggle on our hands.
Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, with the social media being out there and everybody, you know, being able to see each other's opinion just right there in the open, it's making it, you know, hard to do things without the hate. But, you know, I believe eventually that we're going to overcome that. You know, like I said, this community came together this last summer, showed a lot of support. So I think we can do that again without the, you know, the conflict.
Yeah, I think one of the tricky things about social media is that there isn't very much accountability for when you do exercise hate speech.
Right.
You know, because you're not in a room with a person saying that to their face, and you don't have to answer to any responses. You can just put it out there and then close your computer and you're done. But meanwhile, maybe you triggered something negative.
Yep, you started a whole new conflict right there on the internet you're not even aware of.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate the phone call this morning.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. This is a local call-in show, and the number is 503-325-0010. All the lines are open, and we've got 5 minutes left in the show. Do you have any thoughts about waterfront development or HB 2020 or anything that's affecting your local community? Are you starting a warming center? Keep us informed. Let your community know. That is what this station was built for. And it's a real honor for me to get to sit in this chair and be the one fielding your calls and taking your comments. We've had some really great ones today. And I really appreciate hearing from all sides of all arguments, especially when the discourse can be civil and we can look to find mutual understanding and solutions to problems we all face. I don't think mudslinging gets us very far. So once again, that number, 503-325-0010. This is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. Coming up at 10:01 is news headlines from NPR, followed by Friday Folk with your host, Albert Smith. And on Fresh Air at noon, guest Claire Tomalin, best known for her biographies of Dickens, Jane Austen, and Mary Wollstonecraft. She's written a memoir. Also, Fresh Air remembers soprano Jesse Norman, who died Monday at the age of 74. And then you can tune in at 3 p.m. for Arts Live and Local with your host, Carol Newman. Today she'll speak with Marco Davis, who's hosting Sunday in the Park with Art. That's this Sunday. Karen Temple, reading from her seventh book of poems, Andrea Frost and Jeremy Furnish, Coastal Oregon Artist Residents, and Rhonda Green with Recology Western Oregon on their upcoming art show. So be sure and tune in for Arts Live and Local, and that's at 3 p.m. today. We've got another caller. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Hi. I have a couple of comments. One, that the 2020 bill is designed to give people in the country jobs, and I would look at both sides really carefully before saying what the bill is all about. It's a complicated bill, and there's a lot of good to it, I think. Also, Astoria is the county seat. It has its aspect of tourism, but there's the hospital, there's the court, there's lots and lots of jobs to do with the county here. It's a problem for people in Jewell that it's in one corner of the county and we have population in the other corner, which creates problems. And just one last thing, I worry about the homelessness also from Jewel when it is hot summer dryness and they've been kicked out of Astoria and they go into the woods. Just that, a couple of comments thrown out there.
Well, thank you for those comments. Thank you so much.
All right.
It's coming up on 10 o'clock, which means we are coming to the end of our show for today. You've been listening to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, and streaming on the web at coastradio.org. Today you can expect a high of 60 degrees with some showers. Friday night, there's a chance of showers, patchy fog after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy with an overnight low around 50. And looking ahead to the weekend, chance of showers and patchy fog before noon, then partly sunny with a high near 60. In the evening, partly cloudy skies, overnight low around 50. And then Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 65. Chance of showers mainly after midnight, low around 50 degrees. Thank you so much for listening to Coast Community Radio. We stream live at coastradio.org. And if you have a mobile device like a smartphone or a tablet, you can download the TuneIn app and listen to us anywhere with an internet connection or data. Thanks for listening, everyone.